Hey fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip from our show, guys. We fucked the anti-slut shaming podcast. This week we have on singer, songwriter, and music producer Skylar Grey.
We hope you enjoy the clip. And if you're around February 13th, Corinne and I are doing a live Did That Help on the internet. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. if you're on the West Coast and anywhere around the world. Go to rushtix.com for more information to get yourself a ticket. If you want to hear more of our interview and more from other brilliant minds in podcasting, go to luminarypodcasts.com. A subscription is as little as $2.99 a month.
Wow. So that's a rock. That's like a... That's a rock bottom at 23, you said you were?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very young. Oof. So how do you get back from, you know, back to the light that you are when you're, what, 23? You think everything's over? Did you think everything was over?
Yeah, I mean, I thought I failed. I thought I'd spent all my life, since I was 6 years old, I've been a performer. And so from 6 years old to 23, I was like, I've spent my entire life doing this thing that now is, I'm a total failure at.
Yeah.
Or like, or maybe it's like, I have to retire now. Like, maybe it's over for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I've already spent so much time.
Sure.
So how
did you get out of that?
Well, I moved to a cabin in the woods in Oregon.
Oh, that sounds nice.
In Oregon, yeah. You said?
Yeah. I drove up the coast and I, my mom's friend had this huge property with this little like one room cabin on it. And she let me live there for free in exchange for working at her little art gallery in town.
Okay, this actually sounds good. This sounds really good.
That's like some rehab, some mental, emotional, heart rehab.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I was living out in the middle of literally nowhere. Like, I had to walk to the cabin because the car, like, couldn't go up the sand dune. It was on top of a sand dune.
Okay.
And so it was like a quarter mile walk from the car where I had to park it to the cabin, and like in the middle of the night walking through there with like mountain lions and stuff. All
wow Jesus,
out there.
Mountain lions,
yeah. I was like terrified. I was terrified for the first couple of weeks until I got really used to it, and then it became like this liberating, like empowering feeling of being like, I'm out here in the woods all by myself and there's wild animals everywhere, and I'm like doing this, I'm living like this, and I'm like succeeding. And it was so empowering. It was like,
you can get back in touch with yourself.
Exactly. It was like the strongest I ever felt. And also just like eliminating all those people from my life that had those opinions. It made me like hearing my own voice again inside, my internal voice. And I was like talking to myself out in the woods. And
yeah,
and I got back in touch with like who I am and why I did music in the first place. Cause I kind of lost that being in LA and like pleasing everyone. And so then I put together a little recording studio in another cabin on the property, and I started working in it and just basically taught myself how to use all the gear. So Pro Tools, and I had this like a little keyboard, a microphone, a laptop, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
Just like a tiny little setup. And I started like teaching myself everything and making music again and falling back in love with music and doing it for the right reasons and feeling confident in myself again. So then I reached out to my publisher. So the only person I had left in my corner after everybody gave up on me was my publisher. And that's literally only because I was locked into some crazy publishing deal that I couldn't get out of.
Yeah.
The beautiful music industry.
Yeah. That music industry, those fucking deals say like in some of the like contracts, it'll say like till the universe ends and shit. Like my ex used to work for Def Jam and
whoa,
he would tell me like some of this contractual language. I'm like, holy shit. The music industry is brutal with their contracts.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal, especially when you're young and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And you're desperate. And so I reached out to my publisher, though, because I was like, if I'm signed to these people, I might as well put them to work.
Yeah.
Like, at least try, you know?
Of course.
And so I reached out, and this woman, Jennifer Blakeman, she was amazing. And she, like, was like, come to New York, let's sit down, let's talk about this. Because I said to her, I said, I have to find a way to make a living in music. It's the only thing I really know how to do. I don't have a high school diploma. I can't go get like some other job, and I don't want to. I love music and I'm back in touch with it. I'm back in love with it, and I need to figure this out. And she said, fly to New York. Let's sit down. Let's talk about this and figure out a plan. And So I did, and I spent the entire day in her office brainstorming ideas. And one thing that was kept coming to me was I really wanted to, you remember that song Stan, the Eminem?
Of course, yeah. Thing?
Yeah. I was like, I could do that, like writing hip hop hooks, but in my style, because I'm not like a hip hop singer. I'm more in the Dido world of like being a singer songwriter. And I just had this vision of doing that a lot. And so she put me on email with this producer. His name was Alex the Kid, and we collaborated over email. So I flew back to Oregon, and I was back in my cabin in the woods, and I would go to this little internet cafe, or not internet cafe, a cafe to get the internet.
I was gonna say, I was like, did you even have Wi-Fi in this cabin? And you did not.
No, I had one light bulb that just like would go out when the wind blew.
That's kind of nice. Just really living by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, this is great for the movie about your life, honestly.
Yeah.
The visuals are perfect.
Yeah, I had to go outside and use the bathroom. It was very
rustic.
Yeah, very rustic.
It humbles you though, and I imagine that being humbled always creates the best art.
Yeah,
it's not fun, but it creates really good, like this drive.
Yeah, it totally did. Yeah. So I got to this cafe, I got the internet, and I got this beat, this track that he made. This guy Alex the Kid. And I went in my studio, I recorded a hook, and I sent it back. And a month later, it was a number one song in the world.
Whoa.
And from your cabin. That's so cool.
Back on track, baby.
Yeah.
Right back on track. And that song was Love the Way You Lie.
Such a fucking good song. Oh, it's so cinematic.
What a comeback. So what was the period of time between your musical rock bottom and this comeback?
Let's see. So my rock bottom started, I think, when I was like 21.
Okay.
That's the end of a rock bottom to happen. Cause then it's like, man, when your rock bottom happens, when you're like 39. Ugh,
yeah. You know? No, it started then. And it like I said, I stayed in LA a little bit, tried to turn it around, and then it wasn't working. And then I got into a relationship, and that kept me there. So when I finally like broke off and drove to Oregon, I was 23. So it was like the 2 year period of just like misery in LA. And then,
Because that song, Love the Way You Lie, there's a lot of heart and humanity in that, and like real emotion and real turmoil. When I think of Los Angeles, I mean, Corinne and I go to LA a lot, and we're stand-up comedians, so it's, I guess, a little different, but it's just kind of depressing and fake. And I know everyone says that about that place, but it does reek that. And it's like, play by this game where the rules really suck in order to get somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's good people there. It's just, there's a lot of bad ones too. So it's like hard to find really the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they fuck it up for the rest of them. Cause I have met some amazing people in LA too. It's just, I've met a lot of bad ones.
Yeah. They came from other places.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know,
they also moved from Wisconsin.
Yeah. It's a city, I feel like, full of people who are just very, self-centered and like self-important. And they think they can just walk all over other people to get what they want in their careers. And I think you have to know that going in, which I didn't, you know, coming from Wisconsin as this like innocent girl, even though I was doing that, like I was there for my career.
Sure.
I didn't realize that everybody around me was going to be like doing that, you know?
It's like all the best people from your high school, like the number ones from all the high schools are in one place. And you're like, you guys are really good. All right, cool. Yeah, I
I feel like all the actual number ones are in New York, and then all the people who thought they were number ones are in LA.
Well, for music though, music's more LA, right? Like if you're music,
music industry is heavy, and
you go to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think I feel like they like you start in New York if you like actually really have it, and then like you go there because are you in New York right now? Where are you?
No, I'm in Napa. I live in Napa Valley.
You're Napa. Whoa. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
it, baby. You got that Napa house. Because
I was like, I hope you're not in New York with the size of the studio I'm looking at, because.
Oh, no.
You're a billionaire. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is the studio on the third floor of our house in Napa.
Nice.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's so fun.
A house in Napa just sounds like.
It's pretty magical. We have a
like, what a great quarantine you must be having. I mean, yeah. As good as one can have, but still like, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty. We're lucky. I feel very blessed. Especially
so you're how old are you when you leave Oregon?
So yeah, back to that. So I got when I got to Oregon, it was the end of the year in 2009. And I stayed there through the beginning of 2010. I think Love the Way You Lie came out and was a success by like June of 2010. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went back to LA. Cause I was like, oh, I'm back in the game.
Like, hey, motherfuckers. Hey. Fuck you. Love the Way You Lie on the radio. I would be so, oh man.
Cause I feel like that is like, that's the one positive
so exciting.
About the music industry. It's like you just at one hit and you're kind of back. Like,
yeah,
people want to work with you immediately.
Like, but I was ashamed of my career before. So that's why I changed my name, or one of the reasons I changed my name. Mm. I wanted to like come back into the industry as like a new
artist. Like a fresh start.
Get a fresh start. Cause like people, I'd heard one rumor somewhere that somebody was like, oh, cause I used to go by Holly Brooke, and people were like, who's that girl who wrote that song? And somebody said, oh, it's just Holly Brooke. Like just. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I would never forget that until the day I die.
Yeah, it threw me off.
I'm Skylar Gray now. Okay,
I'm going to be this mysterious, like, so when I first came out of Skylar Gray, I didn't even show my face or anything.
Very Sia. Yeah, I like it.
The move.
People were like, is she ugly? Is she like,
oh, that's like, great. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
No. Is she ugly?
All right. Thank you so much for listening to that clip with Skylar Gray. Love the Way You Lie. That was her and Eminem and Alex Da Kid. If you want to listen to more of that, you're going to head over to luminarypodcasts.com, where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month. And make sure to go to rushtix.com and get tickets to our February 13th Did That Help Valentine's Day extravaganza, where you can interact with us live via the internet, COVID safe. rushtix.com. guys, we fucked. Just search it, don't like do a slash or anything. Bye.